Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
I'm struggling with my faith. Is this okay? Is being anxious a sign of a lack of faith? I was talking to somebody one time, and she said these words. And I said, gosh, you lost your brother. You're grieving. You know, many of us are languishing. And you think about what Adam Grant said, a psychologist from Wharton. He said, he actually defines it as the void between depression and flourishing, the absence of well-being. You know, you may not have the symptoms of mental illness, but you're not also the picture of mental health either. And what happens is you're not functioning at full capacity. Languishing dulls your motivation and disrupts your ability to focus. Today, we will be reflecting on the Book of Lamentations, and it's not something that we normally have a study on. I don't know if we ever have had a study on Lamentations before on a Sunday service. But Lamentations is actually the Hebrew word ikha, right? Which means, oh, alas, how, right? It's like, alas, it's not a word that we normally use. You know, siguro pag nagpupusoy dos na lang, diba? But it's not something that we normally use. But oh, it's like with a deep sigh. It's like, oh. Or how? It's like a confused and a conflicted posture. And this word was normally used in Jewish funerals, like when people mourn because of a loss. And, you know, the people of God were going through severe loss during this time. This is about 586 B.C., short after Jerusalem just fell in the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the people of God were brought into a place of captivity. Many of you would remember this as the Babylonian captivity. Let me read in chapter 1, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. We're told, Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Some similarities you think about today, right? Seems empty. There's a lot of emptiness. Airports, malls, restaurants, school campuses, convention centers, empty. And so Jeremiah wrote this book, and it's a poetic book, poetic in its literature form. And you think about it, he wrote it as an acrostic in the first four chapters, and it was, you know, the Hebrew alphabet as he has written it, in order, okay, to show a stark contrast with the disorder, the chaos, and the pain of the current reality that they were going through. You see, Jeremiah wrote the book, this book, as an outpouring of grief and anxiety. Now, what can we learn from this book? You know, when I go through anxiety, does that mean I don't have faith? What do I do, okay, when anxiety comes? In fact, Pastor Paolo, can I be real before God? Is it okay to come to God with my questions? I mean, you ask questions like, Lord, if you're really in control, why are all these things happening to me? I mean, I thought, Lord, you were good. Why did I lose my mom to COVID? You said, you know the plans that you have for me. What kind of plans were those? I don't feel productive enough. I'm not accomplishing enough. I'm just a regular student today. Not like my friends. I look at Facebook or Instagram. They're accomplishing a lot. They're doing certain things. We can ask all these questions, and you ask yourself, can God handle my inquiry? Insert smiley emoji here. Yes, he can. See, when we look at the first couple of chapters of Lamentations, you can hear Jeremiah's heart bleed. Look at verse 3. The Bible says in the NLT version, Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with cruel slavery. She lives among foreign nations and has no place of rest. I mean, she's tired and exhausted. This is the nation of Israel. Her enemies have chased her down. She has nowhere to turn. Nowhere to turn. I don't know if you feel that way sometimes. It's like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be or where I should go. Verse 5, look at that. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have become have gone into exile, captive before the foe. It's interesting what verse 12 says in the Message version. And you, passerby, look at me. Have you seen anything like this? Have you ever seen pain like my pain? I mean, listen to the words of Jeremiah. Have you seen pain like my pain? Seen what he did to me? I mean, it sounded like it's like he was accusing God of something. What God did to me in his rage? See, somehow God allowed these scriptures to be in the pages of the canon of scripture. He knew that Jeremiah wouldn't be the only one asking these questions. You may be asking these questions. I have. I think most of us have. Habakkuk have as well. He's asked that question, how long will I wait, Lord? Forever? Job asked those kinds of questions also. Of Lord, I don't understand. Please explain to me. Look at verse 15. All who pass your way clap their hands at you. They scoff. And listen, if you can picture this for a moment. They clap their hands as if, wow, look at that. Is that your God? They scoff, right? Wow, is that your king? Sheesh, right? What young people ask, I should say now, right? It's like SMH. I don't even know. Shake my head. I don't know what's happening. But when we express grief, intense sorrow, and profound pain, the Bible actually has a name for it. Lamentation. It's a way of processing emotion. None of these were looked down in the Bible. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Laments give a sacred dignity to human suffering. Pain is a part of our journey in a broken world, and a biblical understanding of how we are to deal with them when we face them, grieve through them, and hopefully we're able to grieve and it'll help us in a greater level. You know, I remember what Benjamin Wendell said. Listen to what he said. When you live through a culturally disruptive moment, it marks you forever. We live in a time that will collectively mark us forever. Certain images have become etched in our minds, and it will be there for a very, very long time. Two-year-olds learning how to use face masks. Facebook filled with obituaries. And it's like, for some time now, over and over, we say, I'm sorry for your loss. Sincerest condolences. Funerals now have to be online. Someone dies of COVID, the next time you see them, he's in an urn. It's like, lamentation is part of what it means to be human. Many of us don't like suffering. And if we did, right, we wouldn't have such a hard time going through them. How do we do this though? How do we face disruptive moments and go through the suffering while we still keep our eyes on Jesus? How do we lament and then at the same time keep our hope anchored in Him? Number one, acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the pain. Listen to what Jeremiah said in chapter 2, verse 11. I have cried until the tears no longer come. Some of you will be able to identify and relate with this. I have cried until I don't have any more tears. My heart is broken. My spirit is poured out in agony, and I see a desperate plight of my people. Little children and tiny babies are fainting and dying in the streets. I mean, listen to the words that Jeremiah was saying. Cried buckets. My heart is heavy. My spirit is in agony. This is the case because babies are dying. You know, you have to understand. We all have to understand this. It's okay if nothing seems to make sense at the moment. I mean, you wonder, how can we all get through this? The way we lament, and I know people lament in different ways, but here's not how not to lament. It's not to deny the pain. Well, I am. You know, just have faith. It's not to dismiss it as trivial. Or defend God as if God needed defending. Or dictate the Bible verses to yourself, which ends up pushing our emotions back just to accommodate faith so that you can have the right answers. Or decipher all that's going on to explain the pain. So none of these, deny, dismiss, defend, dictate, or decipher, because lamenting is acknowledging the pain, confronting the doubts and the questions. And as you do, God will meet you at your point of pain. The second thing I want to say, yes, acknowledge the pain, but we're to approach our Heavenly Father. Lamentations 5:1. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. It's like, I mean, you think God did not know what was going on? It's like, Lord, remember, look at our disgrace. Jeremiah approaches God, bears his heart. He becomes vulnerable before God. And listen, we can be honest to God. When the outcome isn't clear, can we lament at the same time still hope at this moment? There's this in-between, it seems. Jeremiah approaches God boldly in that in-between moment. You know, one of my most favorite verses, and I know chapter 3 is a favorite verse for many of you, but chapter 5, you look at the last four verses, verse 19, Lord, you reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Right? You see a burst of faith come out. And then verse 20, why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? It's like he's so conflicted. Lord, I know you're in charge. Lord, I know you're in control. Lord, I know you love us. But why did you forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long? In fact, look at verse 21. Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days of old. And then look at verse 22. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. It's like he doesn't even know what to say. Lord, you're in control, but why did you leave us? Lord, I know you can restore us, but where are you? What Jeremiah shows us is that it's okay to be in the in-between. It's all right to be in that in-between. And some of you are in that in-between. It's like you're not flourishing, but you're not depressed. You're just there, anxious. And you may be in the in-between, but even that, in that space, God sits with you. You may be in that liminal space, that in-between, but even in that space, God sits with you. Again, lament is part of what it means to be human. I remember what Augustine said. Augustine said, it is better, though, that the human heart should feel the grief and be cured of it than by not feeling grief or any grief to become inhuman. Lamentation is God's way of taking us through a journey of faith, from the place of pain to the safety of his presence. You know, many of us have become all too familiar with this profile picture. Someone says, I'm anxious. Someone says, I've lost my family member. And you know, we brush it off. And you say, you shouldn't feel that way. You're victorious in Christ. And that is true. But maybe at that moment, that's not what's needed. What do? We snuff out every bit of faith by our words. See, it's actually okay to be weak together. I mean, if you're a Victory group leader, if a small group leader today, you really don't need to feel that you have to put up a front. It's okay to show weakness, even to your group. See, I know sometimes we try to look strong. And it's okay to be weak together, to cry together, and to pray together. We are in a pandemic. It's okay to say that you're struggling. And you don't need to perform. Remember, somebody performed in Calvary for us. It is finished. God knows we're broken, we're sinful. That's why Jesus came. No need to perform. What we need to do, guys, is to create a space, a safe space for everyone. This is the time when the church needs to be the church. One final thought. Acknowledge the pain. Yes, we need to approach our Heavenly Father. And then finally, abide in His Word. Look at chapter 3, verse 18 to 24. He says, He bookends this passage of Scripture with hope. Because in verse 18, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. He's making it clear, Lord, I've lost my hope. Remember my affliction, my wanderings, the wormwood, the gall. My soul continually remembers it as if it's bowed before me, within me. But this I call to mind. And therefore I have hope. There's that word again. The steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Last line. Therefore, I will hope in Him. He bookends this passage of Scripture with hope. And that's what it does. Lamentation. This Lamentations, this book, takes us through the journey of faith in a broken world. And it is His promises that will get us through. As I wrap up this exhortation and this word, I need us to know that lamenting is actually a crucial component of the gospel story. Jesus on the cross lamented, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then you look at Romans chapter 8. Creation is lamenting. Creation is groaning. Creation is saying, Lord, when will you come back? So as we end this time and this portion, I want to give us an application. Number one, it's okay. It's perfectly okay to lament. Perfectly okay to lament. You can come to Him in all honesty. Guess what? He can take it. He's bigger than all that. Number two, connect with someone to journey with. I remember the man who was paralyzed and his four friends brought him down through the roof, opened up the roof, brought him to Jesus. Sometimes we can't even go to Jesus ourselves. Anxiety, fear, these have paralyzed us. And we need people to carry us, to bring us to Jesus. Number three, continue to hope in Him. Continue to hope in Him. The hope that we're talking about is not just wishful thinking. The hope that we're talking about is steadfast and secure, that He will never leave nor forsake. He is the rock that is higher than I. Lord, thank You. Because when we look at the book of Lamentations, we see and observe that while we're grieving on the inside and there's pain that rushes in as a result of what we see around us, thank You that You are there to sit with us through our pain. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Even as some of them are going through the toughest of times, we can know that in the midst of all of that, You said, I shall be with you until the end of the age. That's the comfort that we have. Lord, I pray also for some who are on their own right now. I pray that they would be able to connect with somebody who can journey with them during this time. Somebody who can walk with them or even maybe sit and cry with them. Thank you, Lord. We put our hope in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.